Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. I also like to pay my respects to our elders and also elders of more recent arrival. And also, if you're listening via, you should be, if you're around the country, you'll be listening via the National Indigenous Radio Service, NIRS. So big shout out to NIRS. Also, you can download our app, 98.9FM, for the best country, which is for free from any app store. Or if you're listening via our website, 98.9FM.com.au, those platforms beaming us into your communities. So it's always great to have your company. Been a good few days. Been hanging out with different First Nations artists from around the country, from Brisbane here, but then also from Turtle Island in Canada. So if you would remember, Monday morning, I had some deadly First Nations artists, Renee, and also Twin Flames on the program as well. It's been really, really good because, it's always similar, the stories that other First Nations mobs tell through their songs. And yesterday afternoon, me and Lizzie got to chill at Big Sound and hang out with some of the mob there as well. So I'll just bring Lizzie in just before we start. Is this your mob in your country?
Yeah, I'm Lizzie Orley, my mob are Gamilaroi, from all around northern New South Wales. I also host the Murray Hour, which is what you were saying about music and our First Nations artists and sharing, our stories, experiences, etc. through music. And that's basically what Murray Hour is all about.
Definitely, so, it is.
But we checked out Big Sound. That was good. Mm-hmm. I believe that was the home launch we went to.
Yeah, yesterday.
I believe that's all part of. Did they create a CD? They used to create a CD where it was a compilation of, First Nations artists, and you could take it home with you.
Was that Big Sound though?
Yeah, it was part of
Q Music.
Oh yeah, so it's the first time maybe it was connected with Big Sound. That's right. It was separate. So, this particular gig, it was deadly. It was fantastic. Yes. And I was so happy to share that experience with you too. And see, we caught Rihanna Patrick out there as well.
Alethea.
Shout out to her, Deadly Alethea. Mob, yep. As well. And, a well-known music manager too, also helped us out with Gimpy Muster. Emily Murphy was there too.
Shout outs.
But also the fantastic lineup. Was it Mumbali that was first?
Mumbali, yeah.
Yeah, and the significant thing about them is they came out with this amazing video clip. I forget the name of the song. Do you remember?
Nah.
It's Emily Waramara was featured in it. She was like in the middle of that video. She was they wanted a woman, a real strong black woman, in this video, to also translate from their traditional language into English, and it was the first time a woman had been involved with this song because it was sacred.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so they opened with that tune and did a shout out to Emily as well, which was absolutely deadly, and that's her family too. So and then we saw who else was there's so much.
Dreaming Now.
I've been catching his stuff on Instagram every now and again. It was so good to see him live. Good to catch up with brother Paul Gorey there.
Mm-hmm. I've got Sister Girl's name who sings in a band.
She was amazing.
She's got a really, really deadly voice.
Yeah, we'll have to find that out, hey. Maybe get her in for a year.
It starts with a K, I forgot her name.
She was deadly.
And there's actually another sister girl who plays the keys as well on the Monday night when me and Jade went.
Yeah.
She had a really deadly voice as well. So they've got two sister girls in the band that sing as well.
Wow.
And play the keys,
Oh, that's mad. Oh, well, excuse me. Well, thanks. I'll put that in my back pocket to
So then they always, they're really good. Everybody was dancing around for them, for Mumbali.
Yeah.
But then it was a totally different story. when Electric Fields went on.
Yeah, yeah.
And just got the whole crowd bumping.
That's right. But before we get into that, hold on. Big shout out to Deadly Dillian Briscoe too.
Definitely, her vocals. Yes.
When she sang and she hit those notes.
Those high notes.
Oh my God! Like I melted. So anyway, but after Sister there, Electric Fields. They were amazing. And the thing about lead singer Zachariah is he works it on stage. And then when he sings, he takes you literally to another plane. You might not feel that completely when you listen to, you might stream their music.
That doesn't do justice to their live stuff, man. Yeah.
When you see him live, even the energy from the keyboardist too, Mike, he was, I've never seen like such high energy from a keyboardist. He was phenomenal. People were coming up to Zachariah after the gig and just with tears in their eyes, just how happy he made them and had touched them with his music, with their music, sorry. So, but that was definitely my highlight because I've been wanting to see Electric Fields since you first spoke to them years ago, Bo. And, because, Zachariah's got a big music history and they were also nominated for Eurovision as well to go.
And then also they were on, is it The Voice or one of those competitions?
Zachariah was on The Voice and X Factor as well, I believe. Yeah. He's done stuff here, there and everywhere, that fella. He's deadly.
Yeah, they have. They're really deadly.
Yeah, so that was a highlight. And then I got to yarn with Electric Fields, which was another big thing for me. I'm just still blown away by it and Zachariah.
And so you got a bunch of interviews as well?
Annie Marucci Baramba, who did the Welcome to Country, and then I got Zachariah. And the deal with Zachariah was he was like, okay, you can interview me, but only if you come to my gig tonight. So I'm a bit wrecked. because I'm really tired. His gig was at 11, so I went home and had a nap, and then I came back and then saw Electric Fields and caught Emily Watamara there. And
that was funny. Like after their gig, Mike, the keyboardist, was like, yeah, we're playing tonight at 3:30 in the morning. And somebody in the crowd goes, no, you're not. It's 11.
Yeah.
Totally
and forgotten. I had to kind of confirm.
but I'm sure, like, if it was, 3 o'clock in the morning, like, people would still go on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, yeah. So between 2 and 3, we'll cover that on the Murray Hour, the Big Sound, Black Sound as well, First Nations artist involved with Big Sound, and get that yarn from Zachariah. He speaks beautifully. You'll want to tune in and hear what he's got to say because it's just wonderful.
Definitely. So just remember to tune in today. From 2 to 3 is the Murray Hour with Lizzie. Also, the Murray Hour is Mondays. From 2 to 3 as well. So just tune in anyways, because I'm sure you're going to have lots of content for the next few weeks to use as well. Also, the Didge player.
Jamie. Oh, yes, Jamie. It was the first time I'd ever seen him. So sorry. He was mad. Yeah,
he's a deadly fella. First time at Kangaroo Tail was at his house with him and his dad in South Australia. Rest in peace to his old man, passed away a few years ago.
Really?
But yeah, first time at Kangaroo Tail was at his house. So deadly fella.
Where's he from?
They're Adelaide.
They're
Ghana mob. Like T.O.'s like in Adelaide there.
Yeah, oh geez. And people went off when he played the Didge. They loved it. Everybody loved it. We all had the best time. And big thank you to Jamie too, for taking the time to, give me the opportunity to see the gig and have a chat and yarn
fun.
And yeah, thank you, Jamie.
Definitely. Also joining us in the studio, we have a deadly brother, local brother, Joe, also known as Mac Ridge. How you going, my bro?
Good, my brother. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back in the building here too.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think, 2011, 2012?
No.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so for our listeners, Mac Ridge, who is also a part of the showcase and some of the gigs throughout Big Sound and a part of the First Nation stream at Big Sound through, I think it's called Black Sound, Joe made it a thing, Joe actually worked here as well before me. Showed me the ropes on radio.
Little Joseph Collins, baby, I remember you. Bless. Make honey a cup of tea there, Nagin.
Fresh out of high school. Yeah. Probably one of the best times of my life here, though, I reckon. Yeah. I don't think I'd be as confident performing if it wasn't for coming here first. Built a lot of confidence going on air and all that stuff.
We're so lucky to have you has come in as a trainee and you know, you've come through in leaps and bounds. It's amazing to see.
Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff. I think Emily was same year as well.
Emily Waramara.
Yeah.
We were just saying like, she was super quiet too. And now look at yous. Hey.
Hey, we broke out of the
on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, yeah, like, you've been, and all that time back then as well, you were still performing and rapping and stuff?
Not as much. I was, like, I've been rapping since I was, like, 10, you know, just mucking around.
Also, sorry, you're mobbing your country for our listeners.
So I'm originally born in Mackay, and, but moved down to Brisbane when I was 10, lived here ever since. And my mob's, Yimin, Goreng Goreng, and, Kokoyalanji from the Daintree area.
Yeah, Dudley.
Yeah, so, yeah, I currently reside in Wynnum right now on the Bayside. But, yeah, going back to when I first started performing, I probably, it actually was around the same time, I think, when Trix put on that Indigenous Hip Hop Night in town there, that was one of my first performances. So, yeah, that's going way back.
Was that either 2012 or 2013, 2012?
Something like that.
Yeah.
That
was quite a long, quite a while ago.
But I feel myself, like, this year is my, like, kind of establishment, so this year is sort of like my, you know, fully fledged being a performer, hip-hop artist type thing, and I'm starting to get proper gigs and, you know, a bit of local recognition, and especially like this big sound, eh? It's deadly, like I met a lot of good people, and yeah, they're going off for me last night, so.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know, sorry, I missed you.
Like, you weren't sort of promoted in the lead-up, so people didn't know you were coming, and then, like, you just come in as a wild card.
Yeah, wild card. So, unfortunately, one of the other people couldn't make it, and I've been making strides with QPAC Black Beats. We've been performing together, which is a collective of different Indigenous artists from musical backgrounds, and we get together and make music and perform it wherever there's events hosted by QPAC or...
Is it that jam thing that's out on the grass thing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Green Jam is, like, belongs to QPAC, but they put us up. It was one of our first gigs, which it was really good. Got a good reception there. And we just got back from Stradbroke last weekend, performed at the Quandamooka Festival before Dan Sultan and Jessica Malboy. And it was a deadly gig. So, yeah, we're all putting out good music, getting together. But back to what I was saying...
How'd you get, like, wild card?
So, yeah, I guess...
Did you apply or...?
Getting a name? No, I didn't apply nothing. I'm guessing, just making strides in the right direction musically in the local scene here, just getting my name out there and, yeah, starting to travel around in the circles. So I think Alethea, she had a lot to do with that, and I was great to meet her on the first First Nations opening night there. Yeah, she's a deadly sister, and she's doing really good things for our people here in the Brisbane music scene and that.
Definitely she is. You know, the last two, like, I've only been in the Big Sound last 2 years, and both times she said, you know, like, you know, come along, get some interviews, whatever, you know, always looked after me. Oh, and anything she, like she, anything that she's done, like, with Big Sound or even Digi Youth Art, she's, you know, like, I always reached out to her, and she's always, you know, come through with, you know, some interviews or, you know, brought the mob in, anything, you know, like, always really, really solid. What was the expectations in the lead up before coming to Big Sound? You know,
oh, man. I was jamming, eh, to be honest. Because I only found out about Big Sound last year. Because, like, it is, they market it real well, but it's really, it's a real industry-based sort of event, you know what I mean? Like, anyone can buy a festival and that, but it's really great for networking and all that. So knowing that going into it, I was just like, yeah, small nervous, but at the same time excited. Because, yeah, it's definitely some place I wanted to perform, but I just didn't think it would be so soon. And, I think this happens to be the first year that they've got a lot more First Nation stuff, eh? Yeah, so there's First Nation Bar and Lounge, TSO. So if you want to go see some, you know, Murray artists chilling out from time to time, you might find them there.
Also First Nations mob from Canada and New Zealand as well.
Yeah. Is that the first time they've had...
I think the first time... I think so. I could be wrong, but this is the first time it's been, like, this massive.
Yeah.
Like, so many artists. I think, I don't know, there's more than 20 or 30 First Nations artists from here and also from Canada and New Zealand as well that are participating in this, whether they may be artists or managers, you know, industry people as well. And how do you find that part of the music side of things, like the industry side?
It's deadly because I've been watching these people from afar and to meet them in real life in person is deadly. And it's just good for our mob to get together, you know what I mean? And we're able to support one another, especially at big events like this. You know, it's great for networking and that. So, yeah, I think it is really important. And a big shout-out to Alethea and the team there, man. They've done really good, made a nice, safe cultural environment there for our mob as well, and also other people to come and enjoy it and share our music as well.
Mm. Any artists that you're looking to sort of see and to check out?
Well, last night, Dreaming Now and Misha and someone else.
You know, Misha, interviewed Misha, right? Last week.
Tried to. Sissy Girl had to rest her voice because she was getting unwell there. And I said, oh, don't worry about it. You rest up because she's.
Hopefully, we catch up with her.
She's kind of touring out of.
Well, look, all the First Nations artists are all on my list. But just last night, we happened to all be performing at the same time. So.
That's deadly.
Yeah, it was proper no good for me when it was deadly.
But at least it goes for quite a while, so, you know, you can catch...
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really looking forward to Snowy Nose Res Kids.
Snowy Nose Res Kids.
I had a yarn to them yesterday. They're deadly fellas,
yeah. They're great, aren't they? They're lovely. Have you checked their music out?
No, I just saw a video from when they were at Darwin.
Yeah, last year.
They came to Darwin. And I think they're performing today, actually.
Yeah, they're performing tonight and also tomorrow night as well.
Spion. Yeah, I think they're at the Queen Street Mall today.
Oh, really?
What? Snow Nose Res Kids at Queen Street, one of the gatherings.
Oh, no. Sorry.
You know, somebody else. That's Daylene Briscoe. She's here today.
And Rebecca Hatch.
And Rebecca Hatch. Yeah. We should go check
guys,
it out.
Guys, if you go, it's free as well.
It's free. Queen Street Mall. Can't miss it.
Yep. So, go check out Daylene Briscoe and then go see her gig at Big Sound too.
Definitely. And go follow and buy their music as well. Support black artists.
I've got to give a plug to... the Spotify playlist, you can look them up. There's Black Sound and Deadly Beats playlist, and it features all the First Nations artists here at Big Sound and many more. Yeah, so if you like some, you know, First Nations music from all types of genres, make sure you check it out.
Definitely. Thanks, Joe. You gonna hang out for a bit?
Yeah, I'll stick around. Deadly.
And I know you're gonna do your interview, sis. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, you're all right. I'm lining up a yarn and gonna be.
Is Deadly Choices one?
Yeah,
or?
It's for DC Radio, so I also host that. So tune in from 6 to hear that one. It's a really important, one in aid of World Suicide Prevention Day. We're talking around. So
very.
Make sure you tune in. Some really deadly things going on around that.
Definitely. We're going to head to a quick song break and then we'll come back after that. Actually, I'm going to play an interview after the song from Neil Morris and also Paul Gorey. They're both from Dreaming Now. We're going to head to one of their songs that you might know, which is Australia Doesn't Exist.
Australia does not exist. Australia does not exist. Australia does not exist. Oh, oh, oh. 1788 came upon this land. Washed into the bay, stepped upon sacred sands. Didn't recognize there was governance at hand. Laws and conditions not based upon demands. Tribes, clans and families in line with sacred chants. Song lines, stories, blessing woman, child and man. Stars, constellations, formulating plans. Bountiful plains of medicinal plants. Spouse beyond the physical, beating our dents. None of this dreaming, unfolded by chance. But they didn't see this majesty right before their eyes. Labeled us as savages and plotted out the Mars, took our star formations to represent their plot. Not realizing natural essence brought in through those knots. Busy painting laws to sidestep our rights. Then I have every ways to be brought out of sight, out of mind. Spotted laws, this landscape never defined in the previous 60,000 plus years of time. That said, Australia's still a scene of crime when they push aside the matters and it's blinded in the blind.
Australia.
What they be selling is myth.
Australia does not exist.
But they keep on trying to tell them.
Australia does not exist.
Yo, it's straight up illegitimate.
Australia does not exist.
Yeah, it's all lies, all of it.
First we'll take that land, take it for our own. Those Cause you take a stand, we'll kneel before the throne, kneel before the crown. Hands on the ground, then we'll take all the kids. Hush, don't make a sound, nothing but savages. We'll show them how they're supposed to live, and if they don't assimilate, I guess we'll have to demonstrate our superiority in every single way, and remind them how we've conquered them every single day. And what better way to do this than to give this land a name? Australia, yeah, the great land that was claimed. Man, it ain't gonna work. Watch us grow like flowers if we come from the dirt. The earth runs deep. Our peep came just to reframe the pictures of the past, so my people know where we came from. We've been here all along. See, Australia don't exist, just another damn myth.
Australia does not exist.
What they be selling is myth.
Australia does not exist.
But they keep on trying to tell me.
Australia does not exist.
Yeah, it's all lies, nah, all
nah,
of it.
Nah, 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 nah.
Is what they try to make it seem. Australia does not exist. Just a spray painting pictures to try painting new picture to evade the true identity of this land. It is built on legislations and false formations without true jurisdiction, propagated through mass manipulation of populations and resources, genocidal policy enforces, born in blood of our ancestors, massacres, but still sacred spirit here. Breathe in the air, true essence delivered from our mother's womb and hands. It's always was, and always will be a land of countless indigenous nations, none of which are called Australia.
Dreaming Now with that song. Great song. You know, Australia does not exist. They performed at the first the Black Sounds Community Showcase. They performed yesterday at Homecoming, I believe it was called. And then they also performed last night with you, or no? Or
another event? They were at the Valley Drive.
Okay, the Valley Drive.
Somewhere.
So actually, I had a chat with these brothers yesterday at Big Sound, so I'm going to play that one there, and then towards the end of the program I'm going to play another interview that I did with Rihanna Patrick. Just, you know, she's on the board at Big Sound, so we have a chat about you know, how far Big Sound has come for her being on the board, but then also as a participant and as a fan of Big Sound, and her aspirations where she wants to see Big Sound in the future. But right now I want to come up and have a chat with Paul Gorrie and also Neil Morris. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. Just before we start, brothers, could you tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
My name is Neil Morris. I come from the Yorta Yorta mob there, Shepherd and Rupin away there in central so-called Victoria.
Cheers, brother. Thanks for that. We're here at Big Sound here in Brisbane. Second performance down. How's things going?
Yeah, it's going, you know, I feel really grateful to be here first and foremost, and I pay the respects to the mob who are the custodians and rightful owners of this land. It's beautiful to be here. I've had, you know, a beautiful welcome to country before the events that were performed out by Auntie there, and that heart and spirit that she gave to us. You know, for me, that's really critically important when I move around different landscapes as an artist, is, you know, to actually have that proper connection with some custodians of a land. So first and foremost, grateful for those things, and that makes the whole week better moving forward. And, you know, the show is so far all the more better because of, you know, having that right way to walk in the country. Absolutely.
Yeah, if any of our mob don't know, or if anybody that's sort of chinning doesn't know, having Yarn to Neil and also Paul just walked over, both his brothers are from Dreaming Now, really, really deadly First Nations band. You know, that's their music is really speaking to the heart of, you know, I guess to the core of what, you know, Aboriginal people face within this country as well. And I guess I'll just sort of shoot to Paul now. Your mob in your country, please, bros.
Yeah, hey, my name is Paul. I'm Gunai Kona and Yorta Yorta, and I'd like to pay respects to the mob here, the Turrbal and Yagara people, and thanks for having me on the show.
All good, brother. All good, bros. Just want to see how things have been going up here at Brisbane with the Big Sound. How has things been going? Like,
it's been pretty cool so far. Yeah, we did a community gig, and we just did this one here now at the Valley Drive-In. With Electric Fields, Mumbali, and Deline Roscoe, which has been really, really fun. We just finished the set now, and it's a hot day.
Definitely,
beautiful country.
It is very, very, very warm up here. I guess, you know, tell us about the importance of sort of an event like this here, and having so many other First Nations artists, you know, be a part of this as well.
Yeah, so being a part of it, and also ensuring that there's all First Nation lineups split between all different genres kind of shows like the diversity of our peoples and like what kind of music we do play, and also the messages that we bring with the music we do play as well. Sometimes the messages line up, and sometimes they're different from where we're from. So it's really exciting to be here.
No, definitely is, and there's like a real good contingency from Turtle Island as well. We've got some native joining us from that way there as well. How important is it to sort of make that sort of link with other Indigenous folks as well?
I think it's really important because, a lot of people have been saying that, you know, we've been playing music since the beginning of the first sunrise, and it's like a way that we tell story and communicate, and to be able to do that with First Nations mob from across the oceans, it's really powerful, and building those connections can really last a lifetime, and you know, the next generation as well. So it's really powerful.
Definitely is.
And just to add a little bit extra to that, and I think it's really important for you know, a lot of people to be mindful of the power of Indigenous, not only in terms of like the spiritual powers and all of that that we're very acutely aware of and the cultural connection, but the fact that, you know, in terms of music industry, a lot of people don't necessarily think about Indigenous to Indigenous as a global music industry in and of itself. And I think a lot of people, you know, have taken for granted us coming to them to want to be a part of a so-called mainstream music industry, and not necessarily giving the respect to the fact that, you know, we could all want to, you know, sometime in the future walk away from that, and largely due to Indigenous connections that we could be building to hold, you know, create this whole design of a brand new music industry, which ultimately people might want to be coming to that for. So, you know, these are other seeds that we get to plant in these particular moments as well.
For sure. And I guess, is it here till pretty much the end of the week, just doing gigs or all around different venues? Are there sort of anything that you're looking forward to doing in and around it? Because also it's sort of industry talks as well, you know, getting, I guess, bookings for, you know, different shows. Is that really something? Obviously, that's something to look forward to, you know, because that's, you know, in, I guess, that's your bread and butter, you know, if this is sort of, you know, you're 9 to 5. Is that something, you know, important to look forward to as well as how the industry works?
Absolutely. Just, you know, constantly making new connections that our people are going to benefit for. You know, I see it as a responsibility for all of us here, whether it's, you know, a lead member of a project or somebody else within that, like, have an opportunity to connect with people and inform and educate about the importance of the expansion of indigeneity within the music world, and that is a part of a bigger picture of, you know, deconstructing the colonial process. And the music industry, certainly as something that's, you know, self-branded itself as, you know, a part of the vanguard of making the world a better place over the history of contemporary society. Well, if that's so, then, you know, making space for Indigenous people to partake in the leadership of the deconstruction of colonial processes through music industry is a really important thing. So that's absolutely critical at all of these type of events for us as a people, absolutely.
And you'll be talking on a panel pretty much about the stuff anyways, with some other mob from around here, maybe some other mob from Turtle Island as well. Now, the importance of sort of leading the discussion as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, bringing mob from around the globe to show that, you know, it's not just us here as a people speaking about this, but as there is a global project in the moment that's going on. It's been going on since colonization started. We've always resisted as a people. We've never laid down. It's just more visible now at the moment. And so through having these kind of dialogues and first and foremost, Indigenous people leading on Indigenous lands that, you know, their peoples is from, so-called Australia, First Nations people from here, taking mob from different parts of the world under our wing while they're here, that's, you know, that's crucial as a part of upholding our culture and, you know, back to the mainstream music industry, what I was saying before in terms of, like, them being aware of the leadership of First Nations people and starting to allow our leadership to inform how they conduct themselves and position themselves within, you know, so-called things that they can construct here, which is ultimately benefiting from the genocidal and, you know, thievery of, you know, the First Fleet and subsequent groups of peoples.
Well, you know, big thanks, brothers, for having you on with us, and definitely looking forward to, you know, the rest of the week with you and, you know, what you're bringing here as well. You know, very, very important, you know, discussion you have through your music and also the other mob here as well, from different parts of the country and the world, you know, speaking that, you know, that global truth. You know, when it, like you said, towards indigeneity. Sorry, brothers.
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, no worries. Thanks for
having us. Cheers, brothers. No, thanks.
Thank you, brother.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
You're back on Let's Talk. I'm your host, Bo Spearham. That was a chat that I had with Paul Gorey and also Neil Morris, both those brothers from Victoria, Koori brothers. Actually, Paul went to Indooroopilly High up here, and he grew up here. Him and his sister, him and Nayuka, sorry, yeah, they grew up here. Yeah, they got mob up this way too. I think they grang as well. They got biggest mob, these fellas. So that was the yarn I had with them at the Big Sound event next to the stage. Paul did a really, really good job actually of cutting out like that background noise. There was actually somebody. I think it was Mike on the keys from Electric Fields is actually getting ready in the background there.
Eight.
So Paul actually did a really good job to sort of like,
good man.
Yeah, cut that out. So shout outs to Paul. And also their song, Australia Does Not Exist is what we just played. What do you think of the song, Bruss?
Yeah, well, I haven't listened to it over and over again. You know, that's what I like to do. But the overall vibes on it and the concept of it, I really like it. Eh? Like, I think, Neil is a very, intricate individual, you know what I mean, and the way he gets his message across to listeners is something not a lot of musicians can do from a First Nations perspective, you know, straight up deadly, man, like, and meeting him in person too, 10 times better, you know where he's going, what he's saying, and he gets that message to you real clear.
Yeah, and I guess the importance of putting messages, you know, using hip-hop as that vehicle. I want to get your perspective on that, using hip-hop as a vehicle to get our message across. Mm. Why is that important, and does it have a place in hip-hop?
Yeah. Well, I was kind of yarning to this about Jimbla too, especially as a young First Nations lad. Like, you know, sometimes when you don't have access to your culture like others may, you tend to rely on, you know, what's in front of you, what's in your environment, you know what I mean? And for me, hip-hop was the next best thing, you know what I mean? Which it has been, like, you know, hip hop itself was spawned from oppression and colonization, you know what I mean? And that's the way I've always looked at it growing up when I started to, you know, practice hip hop and that. So, yeah, just through expression, song, and then also, you know, being a First Nations man, finding it, I guess, relatable to our culture, you know what I mean? The song and dance.
That experience, definitely.
Yeah, my brother, that's exactly.
Definitely. And also, well, I guess we'd love to have you on about your music as well and some of the stuff you talk about and that, and then how we can sort of follow or listen to your music as well. So
I just released a debut EP about a month ago called Preseason. And the concept and the title of that is just sort of my warm-up. And it's an introduction to how Mac Ridge sounds and just where I'm at right now.
How many on the EP?
I think it's a 7-track.
Yeah, man.
So it's a standard thing. I had 9 originally, but I cut it back to 7.
You got a feature film clip in there too, eh? Or was it a couple?
No.
Was it that film clip you did?
It's all solo EP.
Oh yeah, but isn't, I mean, like there's yeah, you have a film clip for one of the songs.
You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and under Macridge, and on YouTube, yeah, you can catch all my latest videos and content and that. But yeah, just talking about the EP, yeah, like I guess you can describe my sound as a little bit political, talking about, you know, culture from my point of view and my eyes growing up here in the city, and also, you know, I guess not having access to getting back to my homeland like that, you know what I mean, because I've grown up down here, and now just, I guess, this part of my life, I'm 25, I'm just starting to, you know, make trips and get back out there and all that, you know. I think it's come at a good time because releasing this music and now making strides here in the entertainment industry is making me more empowered because I'm putting all that out through my music. Yeah, so I'm definitely looking to get inspired too, you know what I mean? So I got to get back there and take them trips.
Definitely, brother. For sure, you know, like, and you've been doing, like, the film clip that you have for this EP pre-season isn't the first film clip you've done, like, you've done a few?
Yeah, yeah, so, I guess rekindled the fire because, you know, I had originally sort of given up back in, I think, 2018. Yeah, I just broke my leg and I was just getting back into writing and all that after years of just, you know, not really bothering about music. So in Cairns, I hooked up with a few boys up there. I was up there for an auntie's wedding, and we'd done the Cairns Cypher. So there's Lil Mace, BSK, and the brother DC. And we got that video out there, man, and it went off, eh, bro? Apparently there was mob out there, and Alice Springs pumping it.
Nice.
And mob in Darwin and that, eh? Just people just randomly messaging me all over, eh? So that was it. Bang, ever since then, we've just been pushing, you know? So, yeah, go check out them fellas too. So we got that video up. I think, I've also got a one-take freestyle I done just here in town here. I'm walking by the river, and it's a deadly freestyle grime type. Think something different too.
Deadly, my brother. So definitely get out there and check out Mac Ridge on his social media. Before we head to this interview with that I did with Rihanna, tell us your name, your stage name, and the significance of that.
Yeah, so born in Mackay, and then years later, age 10, I moved to Acacia Ridge.
ARB.
Yeah, that's him. Shout out to the A-Town boys there and all the mob up there in Mac Town.
4110.
Yes, yeah, so Mac Ridge, and that's how I got it. And I also got to give a special mention to my father's hometown and country, Idswald, where my Gorangorang side is. Because, I've been copping a little heat saying, why don't I shout out Idswald? So shout out to the Idswald mob or the Collins mob, or Woolly Woolly, Waka Waka, all your mob too. So one love.
Deadly. Thanks, that brother. Definitely go check out Mac Ridge on all social media platforms. Is definitely an artist to watch out, not just in the local scene here in Brisbane, but on the national scale as well. You've been listening to Let's Talk throughout the program. Been yarning with Lizzie Orley. She joined us yesterday. She joined me yesterday at Big Sound. We've got a bunch of interviews, chilled with some industry people, and definitely play some more stuff over the next few days. And hopefully have some stuff for next week as well, because there's just so much to do. I'm going to go to a chat that I had with Rihanna Patrick. She's on the board at Big Sound. So we'll just go to this. You're listening to Let's Talk. Sis, just before we start, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
My name is Rihanna Patrick. I'm a Zagreb woman and a descendant of the Wagadagem of the Torres Strait, and in this capacity, I'm a Q Music board member.
Awesome. This year is one of the largest contingencies of First Nations artists, not just from here, but also from Canada as well. I guess, why is that? You know, why has it turned out that this year that there's been so many?
That's a really good question, I think, Bo. And I think part of it has just been we've been really lucky to be able to kind of pick a really great diverse lineup, and particularly in genre, particularly male to female, particularly just the differences. I mean, you know, people who sing in language, people who don't. So I think we've just been really lucky. And it just turns out that it is the biggest contingent of Indigenous artists to come to Big Sound. And I think that's largely the work of Aletha Beats and our First Nations producer, and the work that she's done in doing that. And I think it's super exciting, and something that I'm not even sure I thought that we would get to that point. You know, I think I was thinking small steps, and then to have that amount of artists come from all over, I think is a really fantastic thing, and I'm really looking forward to the week.
Last night, or at the last few gigs, she's jumped up and spoken, sort of opened the space up to activate that space, and she always made it a thing to mention that the people that went before her made the opportunity for Big Sound to have a First Nations producer. You know, you've been in media for quite some time now, and I'm sure you've had somewhat of a history with Big Sound over the years. And I guess for you, what's it like seeing, you know, now that Big Sound has the space to have somebody like Aletha, you know, taking control?
Look, I'm really happy that that has happened, and I suppose, you know, like a lot of First Nations people in Brisbane, I used to come to Big Sound just as a participant, sometimes as media in my other role that I have, just to connect with people, just to hear the conversations. And I think it's really moved on to, from what I see, a space that is inviting to First Nations Australian artists as well as international artists now. And I think this year having First Nations House is the next step, really, in terms of, I'm so grateful that Spotify came on, and that, you know, they're the reason why we have First Nations House, and it's just allowed us to have a space where we can continue these conversations that we have all the time, as you know, Bo, these conversations around what's happening in the music industry, airplay of our artists, the challenges that they come up against in the music industry. And I think that it's just been great to have First Nations House where we can continue those conversations, because that's how we connect. We find out what people are up to. We find out what music they've got going on. Well, that's what I do. I'm always asking for new music, and I'm finding out what they're up to. But I think that's allowed a space so that those conversations can happen somewhere, rather than us trying to find somewhere in the festival around what's going on, to be able to come here to First Nations House and have that space and have that time to just sit, talk, yarn as you do, and just find out how everyone's going in the different states that they come from, the different states and territories that they come from.
Well, I guess for this year's Big Sound, it's hard not for the industry to see black folk, or to see Indigenous folks, Indigenous musicians, for what they are. Do you think that, I know this might sound like an ignorant question from me, do you think it's been because of the lack of Indigenous artists, or because of, you know, the industry has sort of stood back and sort of stopped, you know, Indigenous folks, or, you know, just overlooked Indigenous folks as, you know, I guess, incredible artists in themselves? Do you think that that has sort of played its role as sort of stopping Indigenous folks to sort of flourish within the music industry?
The thing that I often hear from artists is there are a lot of challenges and there are a lot of barriers to either getting their music out there, to either getting on festival lineups or even getting gigs, to putting music out and how to promote that, and getting on radio as well. So radio playlists and how that happens. And I think that's something that has been a constant for a long time. I feel that the industry is slowly changing when we do things like the home showcase, like when we showcase First Nations artists to the wider Big Sound community. And I think that having something like First Nations House is another way of having that visibility as well, and also a space just for artists to come and hang out too. I think that's really important, that they're having their own conversations amongst themselves as well. And I suppose it's something that I'm interested in seeing, because we are having a conversation around sovereign sounds, around Indigenous-led music models and what that might look like and how we get ourselves into that space. But I think also there's a capacity building that needs to happen as well. And I know we've spoken about that before, Bo, of that we need to see Indigenous managers in there, Indigenous booking agents, Indigenous festival artistic directors. Like, we need to build people with that skill so that that change can also happen in those areas where we aren't seen or we aren't visible. And if there are people there, then I'm not aware of that. So I think sometimes it's also, as we say, a fishing expedition of finding out who's out there. And once you get feelers out there, you kind of start to get information back that allows you to gauge where you're at on that. And I'm interested in what those conversations are going to be, particularly if there are other challenges that I'm not hearing about. Because as you know, I play a lot of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander music, as well as international Indigenous artists, as well as part of the work that I do at the ABC. And I am hoping to find out if there are any other things that I haven't yet heard. You know, you talk to artists, you hear different things, you have those conversations, but I think this is the first time that we've really looked at, well, what could that look like? And I mean, that Sovereign Sounds panel came out of a conversation that happened last year around what would the music industry look like if it had been developed by Indigenous Australians or Indigenous peoples. And I think from that we got a lot of different ideas, and those are the ideas that we're slowly building on to have those further conversations of really looking at the space and how change can happen in that space.
So two things lastly, and then I'll let you go. You're being really, really busy and deadly in terms of letting us know where to come to and what's going on, so big thanks for that, sis. Those last two things I wanted to know is, did you think that Big Sound would come this far in terms of its appreciation and sort of its willingness to give Mob a spot like this? And then also, where do you see Big Sound in the future?
I think for me as a board member on Q Music, I mean, as I've spoken to you before, Bo, I've talked about the support and, you know, and the level of understanding and the change that they're trying to make from that level too, in terms of Big Sound, its representation, its diversity, and what that means on very many, like there's a lot of different levels in that. It's not only male to female artists, it's not only including non-binary artists in that as well. It's not only about the genres that we're supporting as part of Big Sound. I think for me, the thing that I like about Big Sound is that there isn't an Indigenous stage. If you're a hip-hop artist, you're on the hip-hop stage. If you're a pop artist, you're kind of on the pop stage. I don't even know if there's a pop stage. I'm just making that up right now. If you're a heavy metal artist, you're on the heavy metal stage. You know, you're on the metal stage. And that, for me, I think is streets ahead and where we need to be, which is that our artists are making music in those genres, that Indigenous music is not a genre, that it sits in whatever spectrum that that artist is working in. And so I think from that point of view, I think for me, I was hoping it would be this big. I didn't know it would be this big. So I feel like we're ahead on that. But I think, you know, each year that we have Alethea as our First Nations producer, and this is only year two, we are always rethinking. We're always taking those conversations that we've had, or those conversations that have come up in forums, or the things that have been said from artists. We're always taking that and developing that and trying to work out what the next lot of conversations need to be. What is, how do we make that change, and how do we make that change in a culturally safe space, but also how we invite non-Indigenous practitioners into that space to be able to hear from Indigenous artists about what they're facing and the challenges that they're up against in getting their music out there, getting their message out there. And other times, you know, we know that a lot of our music, there is message in it. You know, we are talking about an experience, but that we are doing that in whatever music genre it is that we've chosen and whatever vehicle we've chosen to tell that message. In 5 years' time, I mean, I can't talk on behalf of the board.
What would you like to see?
Look, I think we're on the right track. You know, I think we're heading in the right direction. I think, you know, like you're saying, this is the biggest cohort of Indigenous artists we've had.
I'm just saying what you're saying.
This year is the first year that we've had Indigenous Canadian artists across, so that's new territory in a way, making those international connections. We've got a few Maori artists here and people and practitioners working in that area that we can learn from. And so I think in 5 years' time, I mean, I'd just like to see that diversity grow and grow, that we hopefully will have a First Nations house next year. You know, I think this space is, it's just been one of the most exciting things for me, of having a space where we can just yarn and just have those conversations. And so I'm hopeful that we'll just keep growing, keep going forward. And I suppose there's talking the talk and then there's walking the walk, and that we continue to walk that walk, because that's really important to me, because the work that I do is about getting us visible in those spaces and getting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists in front of the eyes that they need to be in front of and the ears that they need to be in front of. And it's got nothing to do with me. It's about trying to make change in something that I'm very passionate about. And, you know, my music experience comes from my time on 98.9 FM, and being introduced to a lot of bands, a lot of those legacy bands. And I call them legacy bands because I think there's a lot we can learn from those. And I think emerging artists can learn a lot from the past. And we always look back to our past as well as to our future because we need to be informed going forward. And so for me, I think creating more of those networks in the next 5 years is something that I would like to see. And again, I don't program this, but it is a conversation that Alethea and I have had about those people that opened the door for others to come through, and then the job of the younger generation coming through of keeping those doors open, keeping the window open, keeping the back door open, Mission Impossible style from the roof to get into that space, but just allowing that access and that level of access to still be there and keep breaking down those barriers and breaking down getting that access.
You know, you're somebody who's had your ear literally to the past, the present, and also the emerging, you know, First Nations artists, you know, so, you know, thank you, you know, for coming on the show, and, you know, thanks for coming on the show in the future, because I know I'll definitely ring you up.
I know I can run, but I can't hide.
That's it.
You're going to find me.
That's it. Yeah. But no, thanks this as well, and always, you know, like always, Dedi to Yantia.
Thanks, Bo.